Concordia. And as has been pointed out, I've had a bit of a chance to visit with you this last year. I'm a little bit sad that Pastor Michael's coming, because that means I probably don't get to visit with you quite as often. But I know that he is excited. I have been in contact with him in recent weeks. I understand that he and his family are travelling to be with their family for Christmas, and looking forward to enjoying that, making the long trek across the Nullarbor, and we pray for safe journeys for them as they make that travel, and then to arrive here. And I have a great sense of joy on both occasions for that coming partnership between the two of you, so praise God for that. It's my pleasure to be able to be here just before Christmas and to bring you some of the Word of God for this Christmas season. The text I'm going to share with you around starts us thinking about the coming of Jesus, Luke chapter 2. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." Let's pray. Lord God, help us to receive this word. We come into this holy time where you speak to us through the word. My prayer, Lord, is that your Holy Spirit will be in me, in my words, but also in our hearts, that together we receive your goodness and your word of peace. In Christ we pray. Amen. How many of you know Family Feud? The program got cancelled, didn't it? But it ran for a long time, so I guess you know how it goes. Always kind of asking a question and looking for the most popular answers. I want you to think, without calling out the answer, think for a moment how you would answer this question. What is the world's most loved Christmas carol? The world's most loved Christmas carol. There'll be lots of different answers, I'm sure, here, because you've all got your own favourite. But if the survey was asked, there would be a little question mark box up on the Family Feud screen, and Grant Denyer or whoever went before him would say, "Okay, what's the answer to the question, the most popular answer?" And the survey says, oh, look at that, you do know, Silent Night, the most popular Christmas carol in the world. And we can guarantee, I'm sure, that in thousands, hundreds of thousands of communities, churches, homes, places, hundreds of countries, lots of different languages, that most popular Christmas carol will be sung in the next few days. Why? What is it about that song that captures people's hearts? What is it about what's going on in that song that makes us stop for a moment and want to tune in to what's going on there? It's what I want to explore with you a little this morning, and think about that particular song. And I chose it for one reason, and that's because it is Silent Night's 200th birthday this year. Did you know that? 200 years ago, that song was written, composed, and sung for the first time. There are lots of stories around it. If you Google it on the internet, you'll find all sorts of different stories. Here's one of the stories that's on the internet about how Silent Night came to be. Snow fell softly onto the wooden and stone houses of Obendorf, an Austrian village near Salzburg. Inside, villages decorated freshly hewn spruce trees with candles and fruit and nuts as they prepared for the holiest of nights. And soon bells would peal from the modest church to announce midnight mass, and the faithful would celebrate the birth of Christ with prayer and with song. Within the Church of St. Nicholas, however, the mood was hardly one of joy that Christmas Eve afternoon in 1818. The curate, Joseph Moore, who was only 26, had just discovered that the organ was badly damaged. No matter how hard the pedals were pumped, he could coax only a scratchy wheeze from the ancient instrument. Moore was desperate. By the time a repairman could reach the parish, Christmas would be long over, and to the young curate, a Christmas without music was unthinkable. Faced with a Christmas crisis, anyone else having a Christmas crisis this year? Faced with a Christmas crisis, the young cleric withdrew to the quiet of his study, realizing that the traditional Christmas carols would not sound quite right on a guitar. He decided to produce a new song. Bending over a sheet of blank paper, quill pen poised, he thought about a parish family he had recently visited to bless their newborn child. The memory of that mother holding her infant wrapped snugly against the winter cold took Moore's thoughts to another modest birth almost 2,000 years earlier. Tentatively, he began writing. His pen moved as if by an invisible hand. A haunting refrain, Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht, appeared on the paper, Silent Night, Holy Night. In phrases as simple as a child's poem, the young curate told of heaven's Christmas miracle in six stanzas, as if the words flowed directly from heaven. Time was growing short when he finished. The verses still had to be put to music in time for tonight's service. Moore decided to seek out his good friend, Franz Gruber, who was a more skilled composer than he was. And it continues on in similar style. Does it sound a little bit to you like that lily has been gilded just a bit? It's one of the things that happens, isn't it, over time with certain stories. The story gets gilded along the way. In a movie version of Silent Night, the story of Silent Night that I saw a few years ago, we had mice nibbling away at the bellows of the organ. That was the cause of why the organ didn't work. And in another version, another movie version, they had transported the little town from where it really is in Austria up into the mountains, because that made a much better looking scene. And the story had evil railroad barons and a double-dealing priest involved as well. All this tells me that sometimes we look for meaning in all the wrong places. The wonder of Silent Night is very simple. It's just a simple song in many ways. A simple but beautiful melody, and some simple words that capture the essence and the beauty of Christmas. Let's have a look at these words. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. These words are memorable and touching because they capture the hope that lies in Christmas. And I noticed, I love your water candles, by the way. Those key words that lead us towards Christmas, hope and peace and joy and love. The words of Silent Night capture these key things. One of the key words, I think the most important word, it always drags me in at Christmas time, is that word peace. We've heard this morning in various people speaking about it's a busy time, isn't it? It's a bit stressful. There's a lot to do. And kind of in some ways, we're all waiting for Boxing Day, where we can go, Whew. A bit of peace. A bit of a letdown after all of the busyness. There's something about that word peace, and there's something about the gentleness of that song and its melody that draws us in, because here somehow there's a gentle space, a quiet space, a peaceful space where around everything is chaos. And of course it's much more than just the busyness of Christmas, which really is a first world problem, isn't it? Something we create for ourselves. But the chaos and the brokenness and the mess and the stress is on a much deeper level than that. Because if we really peel away, we see that there's a lot going on in our lives, in our world, that is chaotic and messed up. It was interesting that as I was driving around in the car in the last week, I was listening to some of ABC radio. Yes, I'm old enough to listen to ABC radio now. And there's the talk back. And it was interesting, there were segments on there, how to survive Christmas. How to deal with those people in your lives who are coming to Christmas dinner, because you have to invite them. But you know it could be a mess. See, that's real though, isn't it? Because we might plan all of the perfect Christmas things, the perfect peaceful Christmas things, but there are so many things that are out of our control. And so many stress points in Christmas that have much more to do with people and relationships and the way things, the gears grate in life, than just are we going to get everything done. And in the midst of all of that, this song about a heavenly peace, a song that captures somehow that peace through music, because doesn't music do something to our heart? This song of heavenly peace just draws us in. There's something in our heart that says, yes, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're really seeking at Christmas. And I want you to notice that it's a heavenly peace. It's not an earthly peace. There's something kind of wrong with this song in a little way, because if you think about it, the first Christmas was probably not that heavenly peaceful, was it? Because we're talking about a birth in a stable. A birth in a stable in a very busy town that was jam-packed with people all thrown together because of the census. I can imagine people going everywhere. There's some thought that it's out the back of the inn. Imagine the inn. What's going on in the inn on a night when the town is jam-packed, people carousing in the streets and so on. You've got animals, you've got mess, you've got everything. It's far from perfect. But of course, the author is not talking about an earthly peace, but a heavenly peace, a glory that comes from afar and breaks in, that breaks into the mess of the world and starts to shift and change things. This heavenly peace was first of all announced by those angels who had a very important job. Proclaimers. They were there to tell something of the story. And they say, I bring you good news. First of all, here's the good news. For you, a saviour, a fixer, someone who fixes up the mess of the world, is born. To you, a saviour is born, Christ the Lord. And then they go into song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. And on earth, peace. Now, what is that peace about? There are two important aspects to it. The first one is peace with God. peace with God, because the child who came was the child who would grow up and would die on the cross for salvation from sin. Peace between God and man. So that essential dimension of us, born, made, created to be in union with God, ripped apart by sin, then brought back together again. Peace with God through this Saviour that was born and then would grow up to die for salvation. So peace with God first. And then peace elsewhere as well. This peace with God is a transforming peace that starts to impact wherever it goes and bring peace on earth. Now, ultimately, that's the peace that's going to break into this world when Jesus comes again. That peace will be fulfilled when God's plan is fulfilled. But for now, it keeps on breaking in and pushing in and shifting and transforming and changing the way that things are. Now, that peace is something that we human beings badly need, and we badly need help with it. It's interesting, though, to see just some of the history of this particular carol, Silent Night. I think it shows us the way that God's peace breaks into the world. It's a very famous story from World War One. World War One, with those terrible, terrible battles. Millions of lives lost as two mighty armies faced across a sea of mud and slogged one way and the other, just burying people underneath the machinery of death. At Christmas time, one Christmas time, there was a truce. And the German soldiers on one side of that battlefield, a few of them started to sing Silent Night, Still Nacht. They started to sing Silent Night. And this music drifted across the battlefield to be answered by the troops on the other side of the battlefield, who joined in to sing in their own way as well. Somehow that message of peace broke in for a moment into that terrible battle. During the same war at a Siberian prison camp, where German, Austrian, and Hungarian prisoners of war were being kept, they celebrated Christmas by singing Silent Night too. And so it is told, the Russian commandant of that camp, with tears in his eyes, told the prisoners in broken German, "Tonight is the first time in more than a year of war that I have been able to forget that you and I are supposed to be enemies." Something about the message of Christmas had its transformative effect as people shared that story of the Christ child in song. Something similar in the Korean War. There's a story of an American soldier, very cold night in Korea during the war at Christmas time. There he is in his foxhole, hand on the trigger, keeping watch. And suddenly a small group of Koreans come out of the forest and began singing in their language, Silent Night. Not words that he recognized, but a tune that he recognized. A blessing of peace in the midst of war. These things are just a symbol, a small symbol of what God does on a far greater scale. Wherever Christ comes, this is the message that he brings, a message of peace on earth, of wiping away the things that divide us and make us enemies of one another, and bringing instead a message of forgiveness. Peace within families where Jesus is Lord. Peace between nations when Jesus becomes Lord. We have so much struggle to be able to do that on a national level, don't we? But the scripture tells us that when Christ comes, they will bash their swords into plowshares, turn their tanks into harvesters and food combines, because Christ changes things. The message of peace comes. Do you want some of that peace? I do. Yeah, we all do. That's our heart's cry, isn't it? We want that peace. Well, this message then of Christmas is for you. To you, a Saviour has been born. Jesus is born for you, praise God. Jesus is born for you. And he comes, glory to God in the highest, bringing peace with him, peace on earth among those on whom his favour rests. God's favour rests on you in Christ, because it's a gift of grace. It comes from earth and overflows over us in Christ. Praise God. Good message, isn't it? It's good news. What did the shepherds do? Let's find out more, they said. Let's find out more. Let's go and see this thing that we've been told about. Let's go and see this baby and meet him and find out everything that we can. Friends, peace has come. May the spirit of those shepherds fill your 2019, that you come to know more of this Jesus and his peace, that you go and see this thing that has happened and experience it in your life, in your families, in your neighborhood, that peace will break in, making friends where there have been enemies, making peace where there has been chaos. Silent night. Holy night, sleep in heavenly peace. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask that your peace comes. We know, Lord, that in Christ it has come and has started its work in this world, breaking in and transforming. And Lord, we invite that same peace into our hearts and lives, and may we be vehicles of it to others. May we be the people from the trenches who stand up and sing Silent Night, Holy Night, and invite others to join the chorus. May it do its work in our relationships, Lord, bringing forgiveness where there is hurt in relationships and offering peace to the world. And we invite you, Lord, to come into our communities, into our world, into all of the broken places, so that indeed, Lord, there will be peace on earth as you are Lord. In Christ we pray. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds secure in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to invite you to stand and sing Silent Night.